As we begin the new liturgical year today, we switch primarily to the Gospel of Mark for year B. We'll have the Gospel of John interspersed here and there, but primarily it'll be the Gospel of Mark. And we also begin the season of Advent. The word Advent is the translation of the Greek word parousia, which means coming. And so it's referring to the second coming of Christ. And so that's what we focus on during the Advent season. And I think it's an important point because in our popular culture, people basically skip over Advent. They go right from Thanksgiving to Christmas. So, you know, we've just had Thanksgiving and then you go into the stores and Christmas music is playing and they have lights and wreaths up. And it's, of course, 4 weeks of shopping to get ready for Christmas, which, you know, you have sales and shopping. But that's not the most important focus for us as Christians. You know, there's more important preparation that we need to be focused on. The number of people going to the sacrament of confession is far more important for us than the retail sales in different stores. You know, it's about preparation for our souls to meet Jesus Christ. As we remember Christmas when Christ came the first time, and we prepare for his second coming when he'll come in glory, and this world will end, and we'll have the final judgment. For a lot of secularists, they'll dismiss the second coming as nonsense. They don't believe it, and they don't want anything to do with it. But when it actually happens, there's not going to be any secularists. You know, and it's one of the official teachings of the church. And we say it in the creed every Sunday. And it's also one of the promises of Jesus Christ. He promises that he's going to return in glory. So just as surely as he came the first time, he will come and fulfill his promise when he comes again. Some people look at the second coming as something that they should fear or dread. But that's not the attitude that we have as Christians. You know, as Christians, we pray for the coming of God's kingdom. Every time we pray the Our Father, we say, "Thy kingdom come." We're actually praying in hope for the return of Jesus Christ. Because when Christ returns, it means an end to all the evil that's in the world. You know, there will be no more sin when Jesus Christ returns. You know, there's going to be no more corruption. There's going to be no more people taking advantage of the poor. There's going to be no more starvation. All of these things that we deal with in this world are going to end. And for the second coming, that doesn't mean there will be no more separation of the faithful. The faithful will spend all eternity together, and there will be no more death to separate them. And ultimately, it means union with God for the faithful, a union that's deeper than anything that's possible in this world. And so the second coming is not something that we look forward to with dread. It's something that we look forward to with hope. In our first reading today from Isaiah has a very heartfelt prayer. And this is one of the only times in the Old Testament where God is addressed as Father. You know, that's something very common for us because that's how Christ taught us to pray. But that was not very common in the Old Testament. There's only a couple places in the entire Old Testament where God is referred to as Father. And this is one of them. And Isaiah is calling out to his Father in heaven to remember his people Israel. And he's crying out in sorrow for sin, asking for deliverance. And one of the things that he said is, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, with the mountains quaking before you." As he laments the sin of his people and cries out for God to come and save us from our sin. And so I think that's a good prayer for us to pray as we begin Advent, because you know, it aligns our expectations and our desires with Isaiah. And so I encourage you to reread and to pray that prayer sometime today or throughout this week with the prophet Isaiah, because it's a yearning for the day when God will come and take away the sin of his people. And it's a prayer that will set a good stage for us as we begin our Advent preparations. And St. Paul says in the second reading that we've been enriched in every way so that you may not be lacking in any spiritual gift as you await the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Christ has given us everything that we need to prepare for his second coming, so we're not caught off guard, so that we're prepared. And that's the focus of the Advent season, is to take advantage of the gifts and the opportunities that the Lord has given us to grow in holiness. And so a few practical elements that we can do this Advent. First is Advent is a penitential season. And so it's a season when we should be fasting and doing penance. It's not quite as long as Lent and not quite as intense as Lent, but nevertheless, it is a penitential season. And that penance is important to help us detach from attachments of this world and also to do reparation for our sins and the sins of others. And so I encourage each one of us to do some form of fasting and penance during this Lenten season. The second thing that's important is the sacrament of confession. And confession is a powerful way of conquering our vices, you know, whether it's arrogance or whether we're overly sensitive and taking offense to things that other people say, or whether we're holding grudges, or whether we're attached to anything that distracts us from growing in our spiritual lives, whether it's, you know, attachment to shopping or to clothing or to finances or whatever our attachments might be. Confession is a powerful way of breaking those attachments and recentering us on growth and holiness, what should be primary. The third thing for this Advent is making sure that we're doing acts of charity, acts of mercy towards others. And the fourth thing is to make sure that we're fulfilling the responsibilities of our state in life well. If we're a mother or a father, husband or wife, to make sure we're fulfilling those responsibilities diligently, well, without complaining. If we're children or students or employees, making sure whatever state in life we're in, that we're fulfilling those responsibilities well and diligently. I think a lot of times our attitude towards the second coming depends on two things. First, the depth of our faith. Do we truly believe that Jesus Christ is coming, and do we trust him that he is going to restore what was meant to be before sin came into the world? And the second thing that's important is whether we're prepared or not. If people are not prepared, then they're going to be dreading the second coming. If they're attached to the things of this world and don't want this world to end, then they're not going to be prepared. But if we are ready, then we're going to look forward to the second coming with expectation. I think that the spread of COVID has been a real test for people, and there's a lot of uncertainty. But I think that can reveal a lot about our inner attitude. Are we prepared to meet Jesus Christ no matter what happens? Or are we fearful and are we dreading the future? I think COVID is a very small comparison in comparison to the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is going to be a much bigger event than the spread of a virus. But I think it can give us a good insight as to whether we're spiritually prepared no matter what happens to us. And do we trust in the Lord no matter what the future holds? And so as we begin our Advent season, it's important for us to make sure that above all else, our hearts are yearning first and foremost for the return of Jesus Christ, that we desire to see him, that we want him to return in glory and to restore all things. And also to make sure that we are anxiously awaiting his return, that we are prepared, and that we are awake.